Welcome to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is basically just an audio version of my videos over on YouTube, which you can find if you go over to YouTube and type in the search bar at The Film Punch. If for whatever reason you can't find me over there, you can also head over to my Instagram, which is also at The Film Punch, and the link in the bio should take you where you need to go. Not only can you get the video version of what I talk about over here on the YouTube channel, but you can get it earlier, so I highly recommend going over there and subscribing. As for this episode today, I only have one review, and that is for Darren Aronofsky's The Whale. So without further ado, let's thank the sponsors and get into it. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so 2022's The Whale is a movie I didn't get the chance to watch in 2022, unfortunately, because at the time I thought this movie could have ended up on my top 10 favorites of 2022. I know I'm saying 2022 way too much right now, but yeah, is that the case after having watched it now? I will get to that in a minute. But yeah, this film is directed by Darren Aronofsky, who is a director I've heard of before, and I've heard of the things that he's done, but I've never watched any of the things that he's done. You know, he's done 1998's Pi, 2000's Requiem for a Dream, 2017's Mother with Jennifer Lawrence, right? And then 2010's Black Swan, which is a big one that I know I need to watch eventually. But yeah, he's done a lot of really great films that I've heard nothing but good things about. And yeah, I mean, this is the first film of his that I've actually watched, so kind of a special one. The screenplay here is by Samuel D. Hunter, who also did the play version of this. This is based on a play, and I've seen pictures and videos of the play, and, you know, with the character of Charlie that they have in here, played by Brendan Fraser, you know, on the stage, it looks like a person in a fat suit. It looks like somebody literally just in a fat suit on a couch. You know, they don't do much with the head. So you have like this skinny, small head on a really fat body. It just doesn't look right. And here they obviously have a little bit bigger of a budget. More people are kind of able to see it up close because if you're watching it at a play, you know, maybe a little bit further back, you're not going to be able to see that much detail for the most part. You know, you could do stuff with makeup, but for the most part, you're not going to see that much detail in the play. So there's only so much they do there as opposed to in a movie where, you know, you have the camera up close and you can see every detail. And in here, the prosthetics and the makeup that they do on Brendan Fraser for the character of Charlie look fantastic. Does he look as unrecognizable as Colin Farrell as the Penguin in the Batman? No. But I think they did a really good job convincing the audience of, you know, Brendan Fraser essentially being this morbidly obese person. And I think not just because of the prosthetics and makeup, but his performance as well really, really seals the deal. I think Brendan Fraser's performance in here as the lead is fantastic, as well as everybody else, you know, in the supporting cast. I think everybody plays their role perfectly. In this film, we also have Sadie Sink as Ellie, who a lot of people know Sadie Sink for Stranger Things, of course, playing Max. Yeah, she's fantastic in this film. There's times where she's kind of just, you know, Max from Stranger Things, and I don't know, I'm still kind of waiting to see her fully take on a different, completely different character as opposed to who she is in Stranger Things. because I think there's definitely parallels to her character in here to the character in Stranger Things. But yeah, I mean, she's still great in here. She's the estranged daughter of Charlie in the film. And yeah, I mean, that's as much as I'll say. I don't really want to give a whole lot away here. We also have Ty Simpkins in the cast. Some of you might know him from Iron Man 3. He plays Harley, the little kid from that movie. He plays Thomas in here, who is basically like, what do you call those people? People that go door to door and say, hey, do you want to hear about Jesus Christ and all that? You know what I'm talking about. I forget exactly what those people are called. Forgive me. By the way, if you hear anything in the background, we got a couple of D-bags just shooting off guns. You know, I live kind of out in the country, so it's not unusual, but it's been going on for the past like hour and a half. It's really starting to make me mad. I want to go over there and just be like, shut up, stop shooting. You're not cool. But hey, you know what? The right to bear arms, I guess. But also in the cast, we have Hong Chau as Liz. We have Samantha Morton as Mary. We have Sathias. Sorry, I'm terrible at pronouncing any names that aren't American. I know I'm terrible. Sathya Sridharan, probably saying that wrong, as Dan the Pizza Man. And then also JC Sink, which I'm guessing is the little sister to Sadie Sink, playing the younger version of Ellie in flashbacks, which is really cool. But yeah, obviously Brendan Fraser is fantastic in this movie. Everybody in the supporting cast is fantastic. Even if they don't have that big of a role, they play their roles well. You know, he hasn't. And the thing about Brendan Fraser, people were like, oh, wow, it's a Fraser-sance, you know? He's finally coming back to acting. But if you look at his IMDb page, like, he never really stopped acting. He just hasn't really had that many big roles up until, you know, kind of recently. You know, he's been on Doom Patrol for DC as that robot character. I don't know what he's called because I haven't really watched that show. But, you know, he provides his voice to that character. He is also, you know, had his face in that show before, because I think there was an episode where like the robot turned human or something like that. So, you know, he actually showed his face in the show before. And then there was that one movie with Benicio del Toro or whatever, No Sudden Move, that came out recently on like HBO Max or something. Didn't really watch that one, but, you know, he's been doing acting. He's had roles, like steady roles, for quite a while now. I mean, the last time I really thought about Brendan Fraser was probably like Journey to the Center of the Earth. And since then he's had, you know, continuous, like, consistent work throughout the years. Maybe he took a little break like in between, but you know, nothing longer than like maybe a year at most. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see people be like, oh man, he was just like out of the limelight. He just wasn't doing anything for a while. Well, he was, you just weren't really paying attention, but again, still great to see Brendan Fraser back on the big screen and back in a big role like this, back in the lead, because it seems like he hasn't really had a leading role in quite a while. But yeah, I mean, I think he's a leading man for sure. I think he's fantastic in here. He shows that he's not only great with, you know, the comedic aspects, but also the dramatic aspects. And let me kind of talk about that for a second, because there are moments of comedy in this film. Some of it is just like kind of haha, you know, funny, but some of it's like kind of darker comedy, you know, kind of making, not making fun of the situation, but like trying to bring light to the situation, which is a really kind of dark situation, because you have Brendan Fraser's character, Charlie, who's literally like just waiting around to die, essentially, because he is so obese to the point where it's just like killing him, and he refuses to go to the doctor. So like, you know that, you know, he's knocking on heaven's door, essentially. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot more layers to it than just him being fat. In fact, I would say the synopsis itself doesn't even mention anything about him being fat. The synopsis is, a reclusive English teacher attempts to reconnect with his estranged teenage daughter. And it doesn't mention anything in there about him being fat. It also doesn't mention other aspects about this film that you might not know about going into it. You just look at the trailer and you're like, oh, it's about Brendan Fraser being a fat guy. I mean, it's easy to just see that on the surface, but this movie kind of, if you watch it, it shows that, you know, and it's one of those types of messages that we see in a lot of movies, don't judge a book by its cover, but at the same time, it's telling other lessons, such as, you know, about love, loss, and how we handle grief. You know, in the movie, I think in the trailer it says that The reason he got that way is because somebody died, and that's just the effect that it had on him. And it shows that grief can be different for everybody. I'm not going to get into who died. I'm not going to get into like all the nitty gritty. I'm not going to get into super big details because I do think people should watch this movie. I think this is a movie worth watching at least once. But yeah, I mean, it has a lot of messages sprinkled throughout. Not only just the obvious message of not judging a book by its cover, but, you know, it kind of goes a little bit deeper on that. And it's like, in a certain sense, almost like don't judge your own book by its own cover, if that makes sense. Not really, I know. But like, it's about, even if you're not in a great situation, still kind of trying to be a little bit easier on yourself about some aspects. Because if you're not easy on yourself, maybe it can just lead to worse things, you know. And maybe I'm just rambling here, but if you watch the movie, it just makes you think about a lot of different things about not only other people's lives, but your own life as well, and kind of puts things into perspective, not only from, you know, a relationship standpoint, not only from, you know, an emotional standpoint, from also a standpoint of what you put in your body as well. This is a movie that it's kind of best not to eat while watching, not because you have like super gross scenes that'll make you throw up. There are scenes where, you know, the character of Charlie is throwing up because, you know, being that morbidly obese, you'd have to imagine that he would throw up something at some point, and it would be gross. But they hold back on some of the other more gross stuff that they could do, but they have a couple scenes where, you know, he is, like, throwing up or, like, really just stuffing his face and, like, grossing you out. And I don't know, the thing about it is, like, nowadays people are like, oh, we're not supposed to be grossed out by that. But at the same time, it does kind of gross you out because you're like, oh, it's just disgusting the way he's eating. But at the same time, you're grossed out and disgusted that, you know, a human being could do that to themselves, but also that something could make somebody feel that way to do that to themselves. So you're not disgusted just because of what he's doing, but because of the implications of what he's doing. And that makes it really hard to eat while watching this movie. I had a full bucket of popcorn by the end of the film. I ate just a little bit. I will be honest, I ordered a quesadilla because the movie theater I go to, they have like a whole kitchen where they make like actual good food. And I had a quesadilla because I was like really hungry. And I had a gift card for the movie theater. So I was like, hey, you know what? I might as well get myself something to eat because I haven't really eaten all day. And it was a good quesadilla. It was just, at times I felt really weird being pretty much the only one in that theater eating. I feel like I was getting weird looks from people being like, really, you're eating while watching this movie? But yeah, maybe not the best movie to watch while eating, but it does make you kind of think about your relationship with food. Me especially, you know, at times I can be a little impulsive, and I'm sure a lot of other people can be with the foods that I choose, such as, you know, sometimes chips, soda, fast food, whatever it might be. It kind of puts things in perspective, and I don't know, maybe that's just for me. That's just how I feel about the film. I don't know if that was just the message I got from it or if other people got from it, but, you know, overall, the real message I got from this movie is just kind of showing how our relationships with food can be when it comes to handling certain aspects of our life, I guess, if that makes sense. And that's only really one aspect of the story, because there's so many things that so many other people could take out of this movie, and I feel like there's a lot of kind of hidden messages underneath if you really look. So yeah, overall, it's a pretty good film. I think it has really great writing. You know, it's one of those movies that, you know, mainly just takes place in one secluded area, which is this apartment that Charlie is in. And I haven't seen a whole lot of movies like that, but I really like that concept of like basically spending the entire movie in one area, because that's what Charlie has to do. He's stuck in his apartment, essentially. He doesn't really go outside. So like being stuck in there the whole movie kind of makes you feel how he must feel being stuck in that apartment as well. And for me personally, if I didn't leave the house at least once every day, I would go crazy. There's been times where I haven't been able to leave the house because of snowstorms and whatnot, and, you know, I just go stir crazy. I don't like staying put, you know? I like going and doing stuff. I like making stuff out of my day. And I don't know. It just puts a lot of things in perspective to me. And honestly, it's a movie that might actually change some things about my life going forward. So that's not something I would normally say about a movie. And that's surprising to me about this one. So now that I'm talking about it, at first I was going to say that it wouldn't end up on my top 10 favorites of 2022. And it wouldn't end up in my honorable mentions. But I still don't think it'll quite end up on my top 10, but it would at least make the honorable mentions, because I've never really had a movie make me feel this way about my life and make me want to change certain things about my life. But yeah, I mean, wow, that's surprising. I actually just kind of learned a little bit about myself while reviewing this movie. So there we go. Yeah, I think I already said this, but voice crack there, sorry. But the comedy in here feels earned amongst the drama. And the drama in here, I don't think is too hard to watch for anybody. It's not like as dramatic as something like Les Miserables or something like that. But there are elements of drama to this that are hard to watch. And, you know, that's just how it is sometimes. So, I mean, if you can't handle that kind of thing, maybe this isn't the movie for you. But if you can handle a drama that has comedy sprinkled throughout, that'll have a little bit of levity and will actually make you kind of a little bit happy by the end, then maybe this is a movie that you'll enjoy. But yeah, I mean, for me, this is not the type of movie I could see myself rewatching at least anytime soon. Maybe in the future I would consider rewatching it if it were on a streaming service or something like that. I would recommend watching it at least once, as I said before. Should you watch it in the theaters? Maybe it's not completely necessary to watch in the theater, but you know, if you want to check this film out, I would definitely say, you know, go check it out. It's definitely worth watching if it's something that interests you. I was hoping the movie would do a little bit more for me in terms of emotion, because I'm the type of person that cries super easily in movies, and I just didn't really cry too much with this one, and I feel like it probably should have a little bit more. But I don't know. Above everything, I think I was just interested to see where the story was going. I was never bored at any point. Even though, you know, again, we're staying in one area the whole time, you know, you get some flashbacks where you're on a beach or whatever, but for the most part, you're stuck to this one place, and to not get bored by that is not an easy thing to do. It made the runtime feel longer than it actually was, which it's like an hour and 45, something like that, but I don't know, it's just, it does things right, it does things not as right as they could be for me, in my opinion. I don't know. That's just me personally, but overall, I would definitely give this a standard ticket. Is it something that I think you have to rush out to theaters right away and watch and then buy on VOD, Blu-ray, DVD after it comes out? No, but it is worth watching in the theaters at least once if it is something that interests you. Yeah, it's worth the price of admission for me, so... have you seen 2022's The Whale? What did you think? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely very much liked it, but not as much as I probably would have liked to. And I can't exactly explain why I didn't quite feel as much emotion as I should have. But I don't know. At the end of the day, I just, you know, didn't feel as much about this movie. Didn't have as much admiration for this movie at the end of the day as I wish I would have, because I heard a lot of great things going into it, and I think I just kind of had my expectations up a little too high for the type of movie that it was. So yeah, I mean, overall, still standard ticket. I still think it would earn an honorable mention on my top 10 of 2022. So yeah, have you not seen this movie? Are you planning on watching it anytime soon? Why or why not? I would love to hear from you down below. Really, any comments you have down below, even if it doesn't have to do with the movie, I would love to hear from you. I respond to pretty much every comment, so anything and everything. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one.